Father God, we come here this morning to give you thanks. Today is a day of great joy when we focus on your resurrection, the single thing that underpins our faith. Without your resurrection, we are nothing, and with it, we have everything because we still have you. Lord Jesus Christ, alive yesterday, today, and tomorrow, with us. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Lord, we come with the women to the grave. We see the stone rolled away. And Lord, for a moment, we can't believe it's true. But we know that you, Lord, are the same Lord who created the world, who dealt with sin, and who waits for us in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, fill us today with your Spirit. On this day when we celebrate your victory, we come empty vessels to be filled with your love and your hope. Use us, Lord, to your praise and glory, in your mighty name. Amen.
Wow, what a start to this great day, that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and we give thanks. I want to thank Livy and the choir and the musicians for leading us in that worship this morning. I also want to extend my thanks again to Carol, to Jan and to Nev this morning for the beautiful breakfast that we have. Thank you. Wonderful. And for the flowers and the decoration around. It's beautiful. It's great that we come on this momentous day and celebrate together. And as we do that, let us just continue in that as we take up our offering this morning, again for the wider community and the benefit of this church. Father God, we give you thanks for these gifts. We thank you for your hand, for your provision. Lord, as you have blessed us, may we also lift these gifts to you, that it may not only bless you and receive us this offering, but Lord, bless those that you would lead us to. Lord, we know that there are many out there that need to hear of you this day. May they hear that triumphantly. May they encounter the risen Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we give you these gifts as a sign of that offering now. Amen. It'd be great if you have your Bibles to turn to John chapter 20. No guesses for where we're going to go today. Livy slides into action there. So yeah, John chapter 20, and I wonder what we're going to be hearing. Going from verses 1 to 18, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the other linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside, stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had laid, one at the head and one at the feet. Don't know why it's gone like that. I'll go from here then. That's gone a bit wrong.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
They say to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Let's pray. Father, would you just open our hearts to receive this mighty word this morning? The truth that you, Lord Jesus, are indeed risen. Lord, this isn't just some story, just some fable or tale of old, but this is the truth. This day we get to hear again of how you triumphantly rose from the grave, risen and alive forevermore. Lord, may you reign mightily this morning. Holy Spirit, breathe afresh amongst us and breathe your word into our hearts, that though we may not see, we do truly understand. And blessed are those that do not see but believe. So Lord, bless us this morning with your word, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Tech Gremlins. Let me start with a news article that I once read. For those that are struggling with the resurrection. Because let's be honest, sometimes this is where we really struggle with the resurrection. Yes, we know that we are born to die. A bit cheery, but there we are. We're all guaranteed that in life at some point. And yet, to hear that someone is raised from the dead and is alive and will reign forevermore, for some people, takes the head to get around a bit. But this question was sent to a problems page of a Christian magazine, and it read like this: "Dear Eutychus." Now you recall Eutychus is the young man who fell out of the window when Paul was preaching in Acts 20, and he fell and died out of the window as Paul was preaching. Hopefully we're all sat down, so that ain't going to happen today. But Paul went and raised him to life again. So this is who Eutychus is. "Dear Eutychus, our preacher said on Easter that Jesus just swooned on the cross and that his disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? Sincerely bewildered." Well, the magazine responded, "Dear Bewildered, beat your preacher with a cat of nine tails with 39 strokes. Nail him to a cross. Hang him in the sun for 6 hours. Run a spear through his side. Embalm him. Put him in an airless tomb for 36 hours. And then see what he says. Yours, Eutychus." Well, Christ's resurrection, it's a cornerstone of our faith. Livy said and prayed about that this morning. The songs that we sing about, the prayers that we pray, is about the cornerstone of our faith, that Christ is risen and is alive. And I testify that myself. You've heard my testimony. I have seen Jesus Christ sit on the foot of my bed and speak and heal to me. That is testimony. So I know Christ is alive. I believe in the power of the resurrection and that he lives and reigns forevermore. But sometimes with the resurrection, people don't understand or can't get that into themselves to understand and believe. Don't get me wrong, people that hear about this for the first time may need to take time and comprehend this story that they hear, to then try and believe truly and hear what is going on. Like Mary and the disciples, they may need to pass through those stages of belief, because often it's the unbelief that they come to. Well, at first, if you like, the first thing, the stage that need to believe, is that it's not a fabricated story. But people first think that it is. Simon Peter and John. John is the other disciple. We spoke of that a few weeks back, where we came to this chapter, verse 2, where it says, "And the other disciple whom Jesus loved." This is John, with no doubt about that. But they think it's fabricated when Mary says that is not there. They disbelieve and they go on. They think it's a bit fabricated, impossible to believe. But then also like Peter, they may check the facts out and still be puzzled as to what's happened. Even though they can see right in front of them, they know where he was laid and how he was laid and everything, but yet they're still puzzled about what happened. But it's only when they encounter Jesus personally are they able to accept the resurrection. And we know that that happens a bit following on from what we've read, that Jesus is truly alive. But then it is then at that point that they truly commit themselves to serve Jesus, because they've had a risen personal encounter with him and accept the fact that this is reality and that he is present with them then as he is with us now, as in all times. Does that sound a bit familiar? Those four stages of belief. Did you yourselves go through that? Is that how you feel the first time you came to know him? That you wasn't truly sure, that you doubted a little bit? But then when you had that encounter, when you felt that change of the Holy Spirit working within, then did it become that encounter with him? And then you committed yourselves to serve him. I wonder how that feels. So whether you still truly believe that, or you question it, you doubt it, you feel a bit uneasy. These are the things that we get to wrestle with. And these are the things that we're not alone in wrestling with either. Because often we are there many times on that road. Further proof, if we need, that the disciples didn't fabricate the story. We find Peter and John were surprised that Jesus was not in the tomb. It says that there. Until they remembered exactly what Jesus had said to them. And then it all came to being that he would die, but he would also raise again. Because his resurrection is the key to our faith. And we can look at what others say about that. If you want, if you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 3 there, Paul, who himself had a revelation of Jesus Christ on that Damascus Road experience, he says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures that they are so well immersed in. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He wasn't an eyewitness here, but he had revelation of the risen Lord Christ, as we say." Or what about Peter in Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, where he's quoting from Psalm 16. He said this, "Seeing what was ahead, David spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay." God had raised this Jesus to life, and we're witnesses of all of those facts. Exalted to the right hand of the Father, he had received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and was poured out for what we now see and hear. These are the truths that have gone on from this very day of the resurrection of Christ. Peter also testifies that after healing the lame man at the gate of the temple in Acts 3, and in verse 15, he says to the people there, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." And in doing so, he goes on and says, "We are all witnesses of this." And he continues in that great speech, that great sermon that he gives in Acts 4. "Then know this, you and all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else," he says, "for there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved." This is truth here this morning for each and every one of us. Receive in power this truth that is coming from God himself. It's he who we've heard his word. It's he who speaks to us. It's he who we know we can hold to the truth of, that this resurrection power is true, that Jesus Christ is risen. And I'm sure we can spend hours with people coming up and testifying to this truth. So why do we sometimes struggle with it? Well, as we look back, John chapter 20, we see again those that doubt, those that are unaware as you go forward in verse 26, for instance, the week later, where his disciples were in the house and Thomas was with them. Sometimes we give Thomas such a hard time, being doubtful, doubting Thomas. But yet we can all put ourselves in his shoes and walk that walk. And it says there, Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out with your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." This is after Jesus was risen. It wasn't before, this is after. After they had witnessed him being nailed to the cross, after they had witnessed the empty tomb, of going around in disbelief and unbelief and confusion, and yet here Jesus appears, not as a ghostly figure, but as someone that is very real and tangible and can actually touch, hear and understand. Thomas then replies or responds, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those that do not see and yet still believe." Christ's resurrection proves that all of his teaching is true. We just read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in particular verses 13 to 20. The Message version says it like this, and Libby touched a bit on it earlier. If there is no resurrection, there's no living Christ. And the face of it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we told you is smoke and mirrors. And everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. Not only that, he continues, but we would be guilty of telling a string of barefaced lies about God. All of these affidavits we pass on to you, verifying that God raised up Christ, sheer fabrications, if there was no resurrection. If corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ wasn't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and the resurrection, because they're already in their graves. And it finishes with this. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in the long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries, it says. This is a forewarning of what is to come. But if you want the truth, here it is. Christ is alive. Jesus is Lord. The death on the cross was an atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. For those then, for the centuries on, for us now, and for years to come until Christ comes again. The ransom has been given. The price has been paid. Jesus has dealt with it all upon that cross. Is this a message that you're maybe needing today? Is there someone at home hearing this or listening to this? Or even if you're on catch up? Do you need to hear that Christ died for each and every one of us? That we may be able to accept? That you should be able to accept? Because history proves and shows that. But do we still struggle with the resurrection? Do we struggle like Simon, Peter and John? Even Mary to a degree. She just couldn't believe what happened to her Lord and Saviour. But yet, as they then saw, as they had an encounter on different occasions. Let me ask you, where does the resurrection lie for you? What does it mean for each and every one of you? How does it change your lives? As you reflect on that for a moment, let me for a moment share three things that emerge from this. The first is that Jesus is alive today because God raised him from the dead. Now we may never ever get our heads around that. But what you must understand is that God is outside of time, space and matter. It has to be. And yes, we put a human emphasis on him as he, as God, as man. And we can argue till the cows come home about the theology of that. But God is outside of that. Has to be. And all power, time, space and matter is in his hands. He has control over that. So he has raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus walks with us day by day. Because Jesus is indeed alive and work through us, through the Holy Spirit. He hears us, he talks with us, because he's not a dead martyr, but our risen Lord Saviour. Jesus makes a difference in our lives here, now, in the present and in the future. It says in Hebrews chapter 6, the Hebrew writers says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf and has become a high priest forever." Jesus is with us all of the time and has promised never to leave us. One of the other themes that emerge from the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that proof for us that we will see Christ in glory, but we will also be with him in eternity. This is the promise that he gave to us. This resurrection is our guarantee, if you like, of being with him. On the night he was crucified, Jesus made the promise to the disciples. Look back in John chapter 14. It's all there. "I will not leave you as orphans," he says. "I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. Because Jesus lives, we also live." Because it's by his power that God raised the Lord from the dead. And he will raise us up also with him in Christ's resurrection. That guarantee that our life beyond death and the certainty of heaven. So we no need to be in fear anymore of death. Because Jesus gives us a future. More than that, a hope. And even more than that, more wonderfully than any of us can possibly imagine. The love and the guarantee that he is always with us. And that he will never leave us or forsake us. And then that third point. The resurrection is Jesus' victory, not only over sin and death, but also over the evil one and all the powers of evil that go on. Now, we may still have a hard time understanding that with all what's going on in the world today. And all that will continue. And we know in Scripture it says it's going to get a whole lot worse than what it is. But when we hold close to the truth of the resurrection and the power and the love of Christ, we don't have to fear it. That may be strange to comprehend. We may be living in fear and in anguish. But yet we have a God who is mightier than this. We have a God who is able to do imaginably more than we can ever ask or imagine. Because Christ's resurrection is key to living this Christian life. Resurrection is the power that we need to live this Christian life because of what Christ has done. Paul says in Romans 6, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We therefore were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may live a new life." This is a new life that Christ has brought about for each and every one of us. This is a new life that he talks of. That if we are united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Jesus shares this victory with each and every one of us. And so we can be victorious over sin. We can be victorious over death. And victorious over the evil one and all his evil schemes. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It makes a difference to our past because all our sins have been forgiven. It makes a difference, the resurrection of Christ, to our present because Jesus is with us and gives us the victory through all of this, through whatever we're facing. We have that. We need to sometimes wake up and realise that we have the victory through Christ's death and resurrection. And finally, the resurrection makes a difference to our future because we have a living hope of a glorious inheritance that we will be with Christ as Christ is with us forevermore. And so for those of you who are still puzzled, or for those of us that still doubt, then this adaptation of this song that actually we sung, which I had no idea we was going to sing until the other day. God sent his only son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy your pardon. An empty grave is there to prove our Saviour lives. And then one day, you'll cross the river. You'll fight life's final war with pain. And then, as death gives way to victory, you'll see the lights of glory and you'll know he lives. It's because he lives. We can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all our fear is gone. Because we know he holds the future and life is worth the living, just because he lives. So many people think it ends at the cross. Take a look at the cross. It's empty. Take a look at the tomb again. It's empty. No, Christ wasn't carried away. No, he didn't swoon, and so you can forget about the swoon theories and all the rest of it. Christ truly died. But Christ truly was raised from the death again. It doesn't end at the cross. It's important to speak of death on the cross, but it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel in which we preach and in which we believe and in which we come to share. Because Christ's resurrection is all the proof we need. Because Christ died for us. He died for our sins. Belief in the resurrection is paramount. It's essential. The gospel of Jesus Christ is simply our announcement to the world that Jesus Christ is alive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your message of hope, of assurance, of resurrection, Lord, may we shift aside our doubts and our unbelief. Help us to understand if we struggle with this. Lord, if there's maybe someone that hasn't truly given their life to you, here is an opportunity now. Would you reveal yourself to them? If that's someone here in this building, right here, right now, if it's somebody watching at home, even if it's somebody watching back at a later time, here is this message for you, that Jesus Christ is alive and is risen, reigns forevermore. He died for you and for me. But that all who believe may not die, but live in everlasting life with him for all eternity. Lord, we want to give you all the glory. We want to give you all the honour and thanks that we can stand forgiven at the cross, but that we also stand victorious in your resurrectional power and new life. Lord, would you breathe that new life in and amongst us? Would you help us day by day as we walk sometimes a terrible, excruciating path, to know that you are always with us. Lord, may we see you in glory. May we receive from you as you long to give us until you call us home or come again. Reign forevermore in majesty and power. Amen. Just before we come around the communion table, which may seem odd that we celebrate the Lord's death, but don't forget, he walked with the disciples. He led with people, even on the day of his resurrection. And he came and broke bread together with his people. As I say, some may find it odd that we celebrate communion on the day of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But as I say, the Lord's Supper is a proclamation of his death until his return. But we know that he shared even on the day of his resurrection, with the two that was walking on the road to Emmaus. We find that in Luke chapter 24. We recall that story, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus. And it goes on in particular, verse 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. Lord, we pray this morning that although we gather around your table, we are not the hosts, Lord. We become the invited guests. Would you open our eyes to see you revealed to us, the living, breathing Lord Jesus Christ? Risen Christ, you walked with friends and explained the scriptures. Would you warm our hearts with your living word? Be known to us in the breaking of bread. Risen Christ, you were the guest in the home of the disciples. In this fellowship, be our guest, but transform our lives together with your living presence. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, would you be known to us in the breaking of bread? Lord, you blessed bread and broke it. You are recognized by those who know you. Feed us with your living bread that we may live as witnesses to your risen life. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, would you be known to us in the breaking of bread? And so we come to the table of the Lord Jesus. It's he who invites us. Let us therefore remember the great cost for our salvation and forgiveness of sins. All glory and honour to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And so with one loaf, one people, as the Lord took the bread with the disciples, with his friends, he gave thanks and broke it and said, take and eat of this. And we also recount of how this new covenant was sealed by his blood. And this wine represents his blood as a poured out for the forgiveness of sins for once and for all. And so often as we eat of this bread and drink of this wine, we remember what Christ has done for us until he comes again. Heavenly Father, would you just bless this bread and this wine to us now as we partake in it, as we journey with you on this momentous day. May this bread and this wine nourish us, not only physically, but spiritually also, as we know you close to us each and every day. Amen. Take the bread as you receive it. This bread is gluten-free bread, and the cup will retain as a sign of our unity together. If for whatever reason you don't want to or can't take the elements, then please just allow them to pass you by without any fear or embarrassment. But receive in love, in grace and mercy, the bread and the wine. One people, one cup, a sign of the new covenant which is poured out for each and for every one of us. The covenant that is sealed by his blood. We drink, we are thankful together, and never forget the blood of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we may be despairing, when the world is full of grief, when we see no way ahead, when maybe hope has gone away, roll back the stone. Although we may fear change, although we are not ready, although we would rather weep and run away, roll back the stone. Because we're coming with the women. Because we hope where hope is vain. Because you call us from the grave and show the way. Roll back the stone. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are found at your table. We find ourselves nourished. refreshed, and sustain us for the days and the weeks ahead. Lord, we pray for this world that is in turmoil. We pray for its leaders. We pray, Lord, for those that would rather cause corruption, that would run amok, that would rather relish in greed. Lord, for them, would you roll back the stone so that they too may see and believe? But Lord, blessed are those that do not see and yet believe. Blessed are those, Lord, that will feed the hungry, that will clothe the naked, that will heal the sick, all because of you. The least that we do for those, we do for you. So, Father God, we just pray for this world. We pray for our country. We pray for our community. We pray for and with one another. Lord, we recall of what you said, that love has no greater need than this, that you would lay down your life. But Lord, you have the power to take it up again. And on this day, you raise victoriously. Father, we come to you maybe empty-handed, maybe longing and needing. May we be found at your table, needing and wanting nothing, for we have received. Lord, would you bless each and every one of us from this day forward, forevermore. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks again to each and every one of you, especially to the choir and the band, to Jan and Carol and tech team and to Nev for this momentous day as we go and as we celebrate together. Don't forget next week is Messy Church. Prospects hopefully later on today, but as we go together, we go with the risen Christ before us. Let us say together the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Go well and go in peace. God bless.